Welcome to American Unhinged with Dr. John Diamond. I'm filling in today. I'm Amber May, and I have a great show for you today because joining me on this episode today is the executive producer of The Sound of Freedom, Paul Hutchinson, and I get to talk to him. And then coming up after that, we have Colonel John Mills, and we're going to talk about the Hunter Biden case and possibly get into some of the Trump indictments that are coming down the pike in Washington. So we're going to talk about that on today's episode. But before we do that, I wanted to take a verse from the movie of Sound of Freedom, and it comes from Luke 17:2, and it said, "It would be better for him if a millstone were tied around his neck than and he cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin." So that is on the show today. If you'd like to find out more about me, you can always find me at theambermayshow.com. I'm also on Brighteon.com, Rumble, BitChute, Frank Speech, and other sources. But the easiest way to find me is theambermayshow.com. But right now, we're going to go to a quick break.
When I invented MyPillow, my passion was to help each and every one of you. And 20 years later, all of your support is what keeps us going. Because of you, we've been able to create thousands of USA jobs and help millions get the best sleep ever. To thank you, my employees and I are bringing you a limited edition MyPillow. The Giza Elegance MyPillow is made with my patented adjustable fill, the most amazing cotton, and a 2-inch pipe gusset. It has 4 custom loft levels, machine washable and dryable, and you get my 60-day money-back guarantee and 10-year warranty.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your limited edition 20th anniversary MyPillow queen size. Retails for $69.98, now only $19.98. That's right, get a queen size MyPillow for only $19.98.
From all of us here at MyPillow,
thanks, America!
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program, at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. Hey, welcome back to American Unhinged. I'm Amber May, filling in for Dr. John Diamond, and I'm so excited to introduce to you the executive producer of The Sound of Freedom. Paul, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Amber. Excited to be on the show.
Oh, I've been so excited that I got to meet you because that film was incredible. Going into it, I was a little nervous. I've seen it twice because I didn't know how much we were going to see in the film. And I can't praise it enough. It was so well done. The film was so well done. The cast, you guys casted extremely well. Every character was so believable. And you did it in a way where we got the picture loud and clear without having to see all the violence towards children. Like, so I was nervous. I'm like, how much are we going to see on the attack of these perpetrators? And you know what? It was just enough to where we got the picture. And so I want to just thank you for creating such a fantastic film. It's something that America nationwide, everybody, this is our film for our generation and everybody needs to see it. So, It's my understanding that you were depicted in the movie. Is that correct?
About halfway through, by the name of Pablo, the wealthy investor that was needed to be brought in to not only help fund the operation, but to play the role as the buyer and the one who would invest in this sex hotel for the children. That happened in real life, and we were able to get these traffickers to bring all the other children from the other traffickers together in this party and rescue the kids.
Man, so I have to say, I really have to say this to you, Paul, because it's not every day you're going to say thank you to someone who did something extraordinary above and beyond. You didn't know these kids. You had no weapons. You had no backup. You did something super brave that the people that had badges in that country wouldn't do. You did something that the military wouldn't do. And
I will say this. There were really good people in country with badges, part of the military, that were part of the operation and that provided that safety net for us. So for me to sit and just take the credit, that's unfair to so many good people that were part of that operation, including the federal agents in Colombia.
Agree with that, but there is something to be said because you did something incredibly brave and you're very humble. Tell me about the film itself. How did it even get started? And is it true that Disney held on to your film for several years after it was completed?
So there's a whole bunch of answers to that question. First of all, in how it got started after the Columbia rescue mission, and some subsequent ones that had some amazing stories that we wanted to bring together into the film and show that dark underbelly of trafficking and helping good people really see what was going on. We went to a lot of the big players. We had meetings with Sony and Lionsgate and Paramount and others, and there was interest there, but that interest came with a caveat, something that they wanted to have the additional level of control. They wanted to be able to take the story and do whatever they wanted with the story. They could have put one of our operators in a position where he actually touched a child or something like that. And it would, you know, we didn't want to allow that flexibility. We wanted mm-hmm. the truth to be out. And they could have tabled the story for 20 years and never brought it out. And we thought, no, this is not something that we're going to put in the hands of Hollywood, big media, and not allow the story to come out. So we decided to take it on privately. So I was the primary investor. I was the first investor in the film, and paid for all of the writing of the script and everything. And that's hundreds of thousands of dollars just to get that to the point where you have a working model, a working script ready to go. And then after that, we talked internally about who would actually do the production. And we realized that even that, we needed to have the right people with the right hearts. In fact, if you haven't seen the movie Little Boy or Bella, both of those films were put together by Eduardo Verástegui and Alejandro Monteverde, the director and producer of Sound of Freedom. They did such a beautiful job on those films in taking delicate subjects, in Bella, the subject of abortion, and in Little Boy, the subject of faith, and did such a beautiful job of bringing those to light. We thought that's the team that we need. And that was the right choice. Well, then after we finished the film, we were ready. We were ready to go out to the public. And the problem was that one of our investors in the process of going through was Fox International. And they were super excited about being part of what we were doing and being part of the distribution and having that contract. Well, when Fox got bought out by Disney, everything changed. And there was no longer an interest in having distribution. In fact, there was a demand to buy out that part of the investment in the film. And we're like, wow, this should be about saving kids. I thought that's what you guys were about, right? You know, mm-hmm. and helping kids. And, you know, as you take a step back and you really take a look at the agenda from what's being force fed to us and our children over the last mm-hmm. 20 plus years, you'll see this consistent downgrade of morals and this pulling away from the things that made America great and things that made our families strong. Those things have been slowly taken away, and this movie didn't fall in line with that agenda. And so then we hit roadblocks everywhere when it came to distribution. Everywhere, people who would put TV series like Cuties on decided that they didn't want us. You know, how is that, you know, something that's healthy for us and our families moving forward? And so then, even when the film was out, you know, you would think for a while, people ask me, okay, was this an agenda behind them? Well, at the time I didn't think so. I thought, well, maybe these guys just don't believe in it like I do. Maybe it's exciting to me because I'm part of it, but maybe they're right that the audiences aren't going to see it. But even now, when the audiences are getting behind it, and this massive swell of good people coming together saying, we want this and we're passing it forward, we're still getting pushback from mm-hmm. mainstream media, from Hollywood and everything else. And so now you're like, okay, now you're showing your teeth loud and clear. Mm-hmm. We can see your agenda because of your actions. By their fruits ye shall know them. And that's what's happening.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I can believe it because of what we're living in and the times we're living in. But at the same time, like, are you serious? Why would you even call this a QAnon conspiracy? This was real. These events happened. And I want to go into that because the events happened. But it's my understanding that there was multiple operations that you put into this film. And if that's the case, I want to say it was done brilliantly because we as an audience were able to follow the story just fine without missing a beat. So is that true that there was multiple operations that you depicted?
It's important to know that all the bad guys really are bad guys, and the operators really are operators. You know, Vampiro is a real guy. We called him Batman, and he's a good he's a good operator. And, you know, he maybe does things a little bit unethical in some different operations.
Was he the one that was the former cartel guy?
Cartel guy, yep. Now,
that character, the guy who played him, I love that man. I mean, he made that character so believable. Yeah. I really like that character in the film.
He did a beautiful, beautiful job. And you know, the reality is Batman was very instrumental in some earlier operations, but he wasn't directly involved in the Cartagena, Colombia operation. But okay. But his story was so compelling in how he was bringing children in, and how his story of how he went from the dark side to the light was just beautiful. And so we wanted to include that. And then there was the little boy who came across the border in Tim was working with Homeland Security at the time, and that little boy did give Tim the necklace because it had this verse from the Book of Timothy in there, and he's like, oh, this matches your name, whatever mm-hmm. else. But he was not the brother to the little girl that we found in Colombia, but he did have a sister that was missing. And so we put all these stories together so that the audience could feel the journey. In fact, many of these kids, when we sat down with traffickers on multiple operations and found out how they were getting the children and where they were coming in, all the stories that we told on how these children were being brought into these horrible situations, those things really happened. Now, it is important for the audience to know that kind of trafficking is a small percentage of really what's going on here. That the average trafficking victim is not abducted from their families in Latin America and put on a barge and sent to another country and then being sold. Yes, that happens. Yes, it happens. And yes, we have been a part of rescues of children that were involved in that kind of thing. And so that was all brought in there. But the majority of trafficking victims come from broken homes, come mm-hmm. from a broken foster program, come from a runaways or impoverished families. Even there's a majority of children that are being sold for sex sleep in their own beds at night. And parents are like, what? Sleep in their own beds? Yes, they're being sold by their babysitter, by their uncle, by their mother. You know, there's adults that are involved in this, that in the U.S. and abroad, that children go to school during the day and then are being sold at night. And it happens all the time. And so people say, well, what can I do? Can I, you know, the worst thing you can do is go be a Rambo and go into a foreign country and decide you're going to go find traffic kids. No, you're going to get arrested if you're not working with the right authorities there, and you're probably going to get shot. But the best thing that you can do is go hug your kids, because you holding that relationship with them, helping them feel safe, having them be in a safe environment in your home, and having a relationship with them where they can come to you and say, hey, Mom, I'm uncomfortable when you make me hug Uncle Harry because, you know, his hand goes down my back a little bit lower. Whatever it is, you know, you're having these conversations. Or, hey, you know, the babysitter says that I should trust her more than you, and she's showing me some pretty, you know, some movies that I don't feel comfortable with. Whatever it is, these grooming behaviors that are happening, that are getting these kids to separate from the stability of their family and making them so that they're targets. And the kids who are going to school with low self-esteem, or they're in an unhealthy home, there's a domestic abuse going on, those are targets for the traffickers to either take them or groom them and traffic them from within the home. So these are all things that it's important that the movie wakes us all up, so that we can have these conversations, so that we can keep our children safe. And yes, when you're in, you know, Times Square and there's some people there, or you're down in Latin America in a foreign country, you watch your kids. Make sure you have your eyes on their social media. Make sure that you're paying attention to who they're communicating with online and how public they are, et cetera. Those are all, we had traffickers that pulled in American children that were luring them through social media, et cetera. So there's so many things we can talk about there. But in terms of the movie itself, yes, those things happened. And we can go into the actual rescue stories on the show. But I wanted to touch on the bigger picture of what we as parents can do to keep our children safe.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because people are now inspired to want to do something. So I'm glad you said that. But I also wanted to ask you, do you think pornography plays a part in child trafficking?
Let me answer it this way, Amber. Pretty much everybody who's watching this right now has seen pornography, or know somebody that has been even addicted at some point. Just because you've seen pornography doesn't mean you're going to become a pedophile, right? However, almost every single one of these guys that we arrested started with a hardcore addiction to pornography. And what happens is when you take a woman from a divine feminine to an object, or even a man from a divine masculine to an object, and you turn them into a commodity, and then you start going down a dark road. And for some people, if they get addicted, just like a hardcore drug, that addiction is something where they need something harder to have that same fix of that drug. And for some people, harder is a little bit like more grotesque, rape videos or bondage or whatever. Or for some of them, harder is a little bit younger and a little bit younger and a little bit younger. Pretty soon they're fantasizing about something they wouldn't have even thought was attractive 5 years ago. And then they're acting out on these horrific fantasies. And that's what's creating this tsunami of demand for this fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world with human trafficking is this commoditization, is this energy that we don't love and respect each other as children of God, but see other people as below us and live our lives in a state of arrogance and pride.
That's interesting. So what's the solution to help curb and stop this incestuous lust of children? Because it is devastating. I mean, adults should never think that way on children. So what do you think we could do to combat that desire?
Number one, we need to be very aware of what Hollywood, big media, even social media is promoting as okay. It's a slow moving window of acceptability is what they do. And they move us just a little bit, and they move us just a little bit, and we accept that, and then they can move us a little bit more. And so you take a look at what is being fed to us now versus what was available 10 years ago, you'd be shocked 10 years ago if that was all of a sudden in front. And so mm-hmm. we need to stand up as adults and say, no, this is garbage. That's mm-hmm. not allowed into my home. And I'm going to demand healthy entertainment and not that crap. So that's number one. Number two, the thing that very few people talk about is this, is yes, millions of children are being sold for sex. And that's a horrible, horrible thing. But there are billions of people on earth who have been a victim of sexual violence as a child in their own home. Literally one in every four women who's listening to us right now was a victim of sexual violence as a child. 40% or more of women at some time in their life. And it's just a huge number. And the average age of somebody who comes out and says, yes, I was abused as a child, the average age is 52 years old. So they've lived their entire life. That's my age. I have grandkids, right? And they've done their career. They've raised their kids dealing with this unresolved trauma. Now, just because you've had trauma as a child doesn't mean you're going to pass it on. In fact, two-thirds of people who have experienced trauma instead use it as a determination that they're going to protect innocence and they don't ever pass it on. However, one out of three people who have experienced abuse as a child end up becoming contact offenders in some way in passing that on, either in verbal abuse, anger issues, physical abuse, or even in some cases, sexual abuse. And in that case, it's multiple children that it's being passed on to. And so if we can have compassion for those people, those teenagers and young adults who have dealt with that kind of trauma as children themselves, and give them the help that they need before they ever have their own kids, before they ever go to Columbia and do these whole, if we can give them the help that they need, combined together with so shedding their trauma, combined together with curbing all this crap that's coming in from mainstream media, et cetera, if we can do that, I believe we'll save millions of children.
You being an executive producer of a film, maybe you can give me insight, because I've occasionally reached out to big media because I'm just tired of seeing really pornographic stuff on TV. I mean, it's full on man and woman, whatever, guys and girls, like full on regular TV. There was a time in our history when on regular TV, if it was a married couple, they had twin beds and then there was a nightstand in the middle, and we've really progressed to where it's full on and it's hard to watch TV, especially as a family. Is it helpful or does it really matter? It doesn't do anything if we do reach out to these big media companies and say, hey, I don't like seeing that on TV with that show. Does that even work? Or
I think that what we're doing as this massive crowd of people that are saying this is what we want with the Sound of Freedom, that's really what has to happen. You've got to boycott Bud Light, you know, to be able to make a difference. You've got to affect their pocketbook in a way where they're like, oh, okay, maybe we should change our agenda if we're promoting things that are not in line with the masses. And we need to come together, just like what we did with the Sound of Freedom, just like we did with Bud Light, just like we did with all these companies that decide that they want to push this agenda on our families. No, we're going to come together and say, absolutely not. We're going to find something else to buy, and it's not your product. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do people find out more about your organization and what you're doing? Because you're no longer doing deep cover operations. That's why you're coming out on film or on different shows. So how do people find out about you and your organization?
So I'm the founder of the Child Liberation Foundation. You can find the Child Liberation Foundation by going to liberatechildren.org will take you to the Child Liberation Foundation, or you can find me all over social media by just typing in liberating, because liberating humanity is my handle on social, on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all of those, liberating humanity. Or you can go to get some tools for your family and to things that you can do to keep your family safe. You can go to liberating-humanity.org. liberating-humanity.com, liberating-humanity.com, and you can get some great tools there. You can get behind all the things that we're doing to create healing, not only for the children, but healing for adults that have dealt with that kind of trauma in their childhood as well.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. If you haven't seen Sound of Freedom, please go see it and don't let money stop you. Angel Studio has been gifted a lot of money from regular people who have seen the film, and there is a free ticket waiting for you if money is an object. So you can go to Angel Studio to claim your free ticket there. So go out, support the film, let our voices be loud and strong that we do not believe in selling children. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming on today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Amber.
Well, if you want to learn more about me, again, I'm Amber May filling in for Dr. John Diamond. You can always go to theambermayshow.com, and there you can find all the places that I'm at, including brighteon.com. Well, coming up next, I have Colonel John Mills.
Experts agree that cardio, muscle, and brain exercise are critical to overall health. But what if you discovered you were missing an exercise that the Surgeon General says was just as important? It's called Juvent, the first clinically proven micro-impact platform in the world. Juvent's clinically proven, patented technology discovers the right frequency of micro-impact for your body. Simply stand on it for 12 seconds and calibrates the Juvent to the uniqueness of your size and body mass.
Brought up the webpage here of the Juvent webpage so people know what we're talking about. It's a platform, it's a micro-impact platform. And I literally use it every day.
Knee pains and joint problems and back pains that they've seen resolve with using Juvent.
Hey y'all, thanks for watching Brighteon. I just want to give a huge shout out to them for allowing the J6ers to come on and tell their story. Thank you, Brighteon. Go and support them in any way you can.
Hi there, I'm Sam Sorbo. Thanks for watching Brighteon. And you can find me at sorbostudios.com or samsorbo.com to learn anything you want to learn about home education or Hollywood.
Brett live in Miami, Trump to Rao Reawaken America tour with one of the superstars of Brighteon, Christy Hutcherson.
You know, this is so great to be here. Brighteon TV is just an incredible wealth of individuals who are fighting for this nation and giving truth. Tune into Brighteon TV. I know my show's on Sundays, 1 to 2.
Every Wednesday, 4 p.m.
Please tune in. You won't want to miss Brighteon TV's best talent who are out there voicing the truth for America.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested, storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Thank you for joining us again on American Unhinged with Dr. John Diamond. I'm Amber May filling in, and I'd love to welcome my friend Colonel John Mills to the program. Thank you so much, Colonel, for joining us today.
On your show again, or for you filling in on this show, absolutely.
I love doing programs with you. I've learned a lot about the federal government. I've learned a lot about intel from you. So the latest right now going on is, okay, well, we have two things. We have the Hunter Biden court case, which was very interesting because the judge made an interesting ruling. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
Well, in the Devin Archer case, I mean, he gave testimony to Congress that was pretty... I would say we now meet legal sufficiency. I know a lot on our side of the ledger have been frustrated, upset. So have I. I totally feel, cite President Clinton, I feel your pain. We're all in this together here. But and now you got to have something called legal sufficiency. And I think with Devin Archer, we now have legal sufficiency to go to a impeachment inquiry. You just don't jump right into impeachment. You just don't vote on impeachment. You got to have an inquiry first. I'm sorry. That's the way it is in America. You know, totalitarianship, you can make the trains run on time by executing somebody. It just sucks to be that somebody or the family of that somebody. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to have due process here, even though they're not giving it to us. We got still have to run due process. And so legal sufficiency, I think we're there. We had the 1023s that are an artifact from the FBI. We have interviews. We have the suspicious activity report. We have over 100 suspicious activity reports. I mean, most mere mortals would be debanked after one suspicious activity report. Over 100, nothing. This is collusion. This is a deep state covering for a corrupt president. So we got that. We got those. We got Devin Archer. There was an intermediate step. Slipped my mind for a moment here on the proceedings. But we now have enough that would establish what's called legal sufficiency. And, you know, Comer's a lawyer, the head House Republican, but we're there. So I think we're going to be moving on this soon. And I think also the Jack Smith third indictment against Trump is just a joke.
Yes.
I mean, many are not even taking this seriously. There's clear weaponization and clear retribution for Devin Archer and what's been going on. So, the intermediate step was, I think it was Shapley and Ziegler, the IRS whistleblowers. They're saying, hey, you know, the DOJ is leaning on us. And we're being harassed as whistleblowers. And, you know, a whistleblower, there's no guarantee in the whistleblower process. I mean, eventually you're going to have to become a known person. Sorry, that's the way it is. And there is going to be a tax. You have to be ready for it. But our republic is worth that. Shapley and Ziegler were just mocked, ridiculed, have been mistreated by their employers, the federal government. And who does the federal government work for? The American people. So there's these three important steps, the 1023s and SARs. These are courtroom level artifacts. And so these three events take it out of the realm of opinion, feeling, emotion. We know Biden is corrupt. That's not enough. Got to have evidence.
Right.
And we're there now. We're there now. The 1023s and SARs, we got two witnesses in the federal government declaring cover up. And then we got Devin Archer. And guess what? So Biden can't play this game anymore. And so I think it's serious. No matter, they're going to throw Jack Smith. I'm sure there's going to be a fourth, fifth, and sixth indictment out of Jack Smith. But this is, President Trump says it correct. This is absolute election interference. And you got Pence today, man from Glad Pence, who let the infield grounder dribble between his legs on January 6th. All he had to do was ask for clarification, not overturn, not overrule the electors of the states, not nullify them, not stop them. All he could have done, and it was absolutely within his authority and his role of the federal election, certifying a federal election, he could have asked for clarification. Instead, he choked, and now the Republic is capsizing because Pence choked. And what does he do after this third indictment? You know, just piles on. And, you know, this is pathetic. And, you know, he's clearly part of the money class and the inner party. You know, that's what's going on here. So
I don't think regular Americans, middle America, have much respect for Mike Pence. But going back to Hunter Biden's case, you know, the thing that's frightening for the American, for America, is the fact that a vice president / president's son, he took money from foreign governments, from foreign sources. Why would they do that? Could it be to influence policy? Yeah, I think so, because we can tell that a lot of people in D.C. are captured and have direct ties to China. I think Milley was a good example of that, and how he should have been tried for treason when he was speaking to the counterpart in China saying, hey, I'll let you know if we do anything, and I'll try to stop what I can, but I'll give you a heads up if we do anything. Excuse me. And so you see Hunter Biden, he's taking all this money, supposedly, you know, he's taking all this money, and it's been proven, like you said, when the SARS, the suspicious activity report that you get from a bank will report that when they see like weird money, like a amount that's, I think, $10,000 or more, or just something strange, they'll fill out that report, and then it gets investigated. And then he got this, like, the whole Hunter Biden thing showed us that it's a two-tiered system. It's good for me, but not for thee. And you definitely see that with the Donald Trump case. It's good for me, but not for thee. So talk about that two-tiered justice system and what the unexpected outcome that we saw in by the judge's ruling on the deal that Biden got.
Yeah, and that was a fourth step. Not necessarily part of the pathway to House impeachment inquiry, but that's right. The blow up, that was a fourth event that may or may not have been relevant for the impeachment inquiry. But thank God we have three separate but equal branches of government, because the judge in the Delaware, the federal judge in the plea deals, just said, "You this doesn't make any sense." They tried to hide Shapley and Ziegler's comments, and the federal government, again, showing clear collusion of the deep state. The DOJ was forced to admit, the judge says, is he under any other investigation, yes or no? And because they didn't want to lie in actual testimony, they said yes. Well, then she goes, I can't give a plea deal. What are you guys coming to me for like this? Mm-hmm. You know, and she did absolutely the right thing and did exactly what a judge is supposed to do. And this was a spoiled and tainted case in the plea deal. And there's so many things going on with Hunter, I can't even keep track of them. I think there was a weapons charge in this. There was, I think, drug charge. I don't know. It's hard to keep up with Hunter. He is just prodigious at this the legal mayhem he leaves behind him. And this is part of their gameplay of the communist revolution and the their captured elite in America. They're just going to move so they're going to just create disaster after disaster. Mm-hmm. And you're pointing out a disaster that was five disasters ago, and they just don't care. And it's mm-hmm. it's hard to keep up with their velocity because they're very good at creating disasters to distract. Mm-hmm. And we got to hammer them on this here, but. Yeah, I think it's very serious. We are, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of Dems. This is the key point. You're going to see a lot of Dems start to come on board because there are a few Dems out there that start to have, you know, hold it. This is utterly ridiculous. And I guess they weren't part of the group that received some of the moolah. So they're, you know, hey, I didn't get paid off, so I'm not going to defend this person. And
yeah, well, speaking of a Dem that's probably not part of the payroll is Robert Kennedy Jr., because they don't even want him to run for office. I mean, there's hit pieces out against him. There's his own family members don't want him to run. And you know what? He's the type. I miss that part of the Democrat Party where it was someone you can reason with, someone who would be willing to work with the other side of the aisle, someone who had common sense. It's been the Democrat Party has been so extreme in their way of thinking that we've gone from middle road to like totally, totally far, far, far left. It's insane. So to your point, you're right. I think there are some Democrats that are going to come. I guess they're called Blue Dog Democrats, where they're going to come. I think they're going to probably come more on our side because it's just gotten so insane. Especially America cannot handle the two-tier justice system. Now, you said something about Donald Trump's case and the guy prosecuting him. Tell us a little bit about what you know about that case to get our audience caught up with what's going on with President Trump.
Well, now there's three indictments, but they're so ridiculous. I mean, I always look to Jonathan Turley. If you want to get a good legal read on these cases, Jonathan Turley and Horowitz, they're always good, and they're Democrats. They're Democrats. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan Turley is going to call it like it is, no matter what. And this is so far-fetched and ridiculous. And it's clear weaponization of government to keep Donald J. Trump silent, keep him out of the campaign. You know, I tell you what, they're going to, I don't mean to be Nostradamus and see the future, but with Kennedy, they're going to try to Bernie Sanders him, and mm-hmm. I think that's going to drive potentially a Donald Trump Kennedy ticket, which you know they might even convict Donald Trump. But there's questions. I think in the end, the Supreme Court's going to rule in Trump's favor of running, and I think this is going to create. And there's so many others that are already running as third party candidates on the blue side. This one university professor who's kind of in media. I can't remember the gentleman's name. Are we allowed to use the word gentleman in the year 2023? Or is that
the word gentleman.
okay. So that's unfair to people who are not identifying as a gentleman. So this is really going to be interesting. But again, you know, we got to figure out something also for Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, which is, you know, it's the other six are the other is with Michigan. You have an absolute tyranny going on there. Just a psycho, crazy governor going after 70 to 80 year olds for doing what electors are allowed to do. It's funny, every other time Hillary and the blue team is clamoring for electors to change their mind, and here's some electors are going to change their mind, and they're indicted. So this is crazy. But Wisconsin too, and also Nevada. So, mm-hmm. you know, we gotta work. But I think the three key, if we're going to spend time and energy besides securing our own counties, we want to hold their counties at risk and their states at risk where they're not really paying attention. And I mean, in the election process, but also we got to figure out something for Arizona and Maricopa, Pima and Fulton and the corrupt city of Philadelphia, which has always been corrupt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, got to figure out something. That's what 24 is going to be all about. And mm-hmm. It would be very interesting to see a Trump-Kennedy ticket.
I would love a Trump-Kennedy ticket. I think that would be the most unifying ticket that we had, if we had a Trump-Kennedy ticket, because I don't agree with everything Kennedy says, but I agree with a lot of what he's done. And I respect the man, because I think he's someone who at least we could have a conversation with, and perhaps we could work together across the aisle. I really like him, and I think that would be the most powerful ticket. I wish the two would come together and then run for office. We could finish out Donald Trump's second term, and then
third term, because I'm the way I interpret the Constitution is that the amendments is that this would be his, winning in 24 would be his second formal term. I think he won 20, but his second formal term. But I think he has the ground, since there was a break in service, that he could go for a third term.
I would think so, but I don't know. I'm not a constitutional expert, but, you know, that's what I think, too. I agree with you. But just so you know, and your audience knows, Mike Lindell has an amazing event going on, and he says he has the plan to help elections. So the plan revealed election summit is August 16th and 17th. And how you need to register today by going to lindellevent.com. When you use referral code Amber, you're going to get a free gift online. And this is a two-day summit, where the first day is about hope and the second day is about how we're going to take back our elections. So I hope everyone will join Mike Lindell and lindellevent.com. Register today. Use referral code Amber for your free gift. I know that there is a recall effort going against Katie Hobbs. I was on a phone call this week with people from all over the country, and I was really encouraged, because there's a group of people in California who's collected a lot of evidence against election fraud, and they've been going to the court and taking their evidence in front of the court, and we're going to see what happens with that. Also, there's a group of, I would like to get them on the show too sometime, a group from New York who's also doing great work in New York to get their elections back. And so they guess they have a model for the rest of us. So I'm going to get in touch with them and find out what they are doing in New York, see what's working for them, and see if we can't bring it over to Maricopa. Because it's my understanding they only needed to take 6 counties in order for them to take the election. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, if that's true, but that's what I've heard, that they only need to take 6 counties in different states to sway the election. What's your thoughts?
Well, this is, so for a while Michigan was a blue state, and then New York, Detroit collapsed, which was the center of blue malfeasance in elections. And I'm going back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Once Detroit collapsed in population, they couldn't cheat with enough votes, and the outlying counties outvoted them. But now, because they had a milquetoast assembly, they've now been voted out Michigan. So this is the strategy to counteract what's going on in New York. Is you're having a collapse of population in New York City, which dominated the politics, but the collapse is bad, and it's only going to get worse. And that New York is not going to return. We're on the precipice of a massive real estate crash in several urban areas, because they've been playing with government money and other things to keep the real estate industry alive. It ain't coming back anytime soon in New York City. So that's where the outlying counties need to get in the game and start outvoting and outmaneuvering that dominant central county. This has been their game. In Texas, they've tried to do it. Well, we're going to use Harris and corrupt Houston, and we're going to do it that way. Or we're going to do it Austin. You know, the beauty of Texas is you have too many city areas for them to coordinate a takeover of Texas. I think for the time being, we've beat back the blue corruption in Texas. Florida is kind of a similar situation.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville, which now we have a blue mayor in Jacksonville in Florida, that was a total belly flop and failure. Got to figure that out. Because Jacksonville, heck, I didn't even know that. Jacksonville's the largest city in Florida. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I thought Orlando or something like that.
Yeah. So So that strategy works. I think I was on that phone call with you, if that was the Jovan Steve Stern
call. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I saw you there. You were doing your eyelashes or something like that in the mirror. So I'm just kidding. I saw you.
I didn't see you. I would have said, hi, Colonel Bill.
I was very offended. So that's
were you encouraged by that phone call, Colonel Mills?
Yeah. I know I like Jovan a lot. And I'm speaking also at the Lindell event. I'll be speaking for Virginia at the Lindell event. So I'll be there speaking on the 16th. I might be on speaking on the 17th also. But yeah, I'll be there. That's a great event. And it's gonna be citizen action, you know. I wanna encourage everybody, because everybody thinks the metric of success is when the New York Times starts covering us, mm-hmm. that means we're having success. The New York Times is never going to cover us. Stop using that as a metric of success. I mean, I'll have people come to me and go, the New York Times is not either saying what is not even covering or is not saying what we're saying. Hello, newsflash. Never use the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe. I mean, or maybe it's the other Boston paper. Don't use mainstream mm-hmm. media that is dying. Don't use that as the metric of success. We're
correct.
Recreating we're creating American society and culture. Get used to it. You know, Fox isn't saying what we're saying. Well, Fox has some issues. Get over it. Get over it. And we're going to have to just recreate. And again, I think we are significantly, 84% of Americans believe in a deep state. That's mm-hmm. a clear majority. So mm-hmm. let's be joyful in that. And let's be joyful warriors and keep up the drive. And, you know, we got to get off the couch, get in the game. Everybody's saying, yeah, I went to one meeting at the county council. Nothing happened. It's all a waste. They're going to steal everything anyway. Well, that's a real crappy attitude. And that's not wars and struggles are not won with that attitude. So get off the couch, get in the game, and you're going to have to keep on returning and returning and doing it over and over. And oh, it's going to be a grinding, grueling, 5 to 10 years until we see significant progress. I'm sorry that everybody wants an easy button.
Let me ask you this. We're running down to the end of our program, and I want people to be able to get a hold of you. So how do people reach out to you or find out more about you?
Amber. Yeah, so I'm Colonel R.E.T. John on Substack, Getter, and Truth. And also my book on me fighting the deep state, firsthand accounts of fighting the deep state when I was inside government. And fingering a bunch of folks to the Durham investigation, which actually came out with some good stuff. A lot of people are missing the goodness that came out. So that's the nationwillfollow.com. If you want signed autographed books, they're at Mike Lindell's My Store. Do you have a Lindell code?
Thank you so much. We got to wrap it up. If you want to find out more about me, Amber May, it's theambermayshow.com. I want to thank my guests, Paul Hutchinson and Colonel John Mills, for coming on the show today. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on American Unhinged. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the Kobe Bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your Kobe Bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Defend democracy.
Where misinformation poses a threat to our nation's health.
Climate change is an emergency.
Democratic socialism.
Codify everyone's right to choose.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.